You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we've all experienced, I know I have, if the Spirit of the Lord is not present, there's not any liberty. But where He is present, there is freedom. There's freedom, there's liberty to pray, there's liberty to sing, there's liberty when the man of God arises to preach. His mind is open and his heart is overflowing. And the people of God, the Spirit of the Lord is present there, readily receive the word, the message of Jesus Christ. So we trust that'll be the case this afternoon and tonight. And I hope that we have been praying to that end. So we're going to open with this song number 86, and we're going to ask Elder Milton Gunter to come and preach for us first, and followed by Elder Ricky Harcrow from Fort Payne, Alabama, and then followed by Elder Raven Lord from Sycamore, Georgia. 86. Number 86.
I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of setting day in humble grateful prayer. I love in solitude to share the
lead us in prayer.
Our most precious Heavenly Father, indeed Thou art precious. Were it not for Thy mercy and grace, where would we be? Lord, we thank Thee for this privilege of assembling here on Saturday afternoon in a place that's been set aside for the purpose of honoring, worshiping, praising Thy great and holy name. We thank Thee, Lord, for the measure of light that Thou hast given us regarding Thy word and the precious hope that Thou hast given us in our breasts that we do indeed have a part in Thy great covenant and the great arrangements that were made before the foundation of the world for Thy people. Lord, we pray now that as we come that our hearts might be tuned to worship, to pray, and honor Thee. We pray that Thou bless these ministers whose names have been called this evening, that they might be given the liberty indeed that they stand in need of. They might set forth Thy truth in a clear and distinct way, in a way that would honor Thee and would be edifying to the flock that's gathered here this evening. Mm-hmm. We pray for this church and its pastor. Pray that Thou would bless them in days to come with good days of rejoicing in Zion, and that Thy name might be lifted up among them. Bless the sick and afflicted and all those who have special problems at this time. Forgive us for our many sins and failures. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for His sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, sir, sure, it's good to see you.
God bless you, brother.
Trust, I'm indeed thankful to the Lord for the privilege that he has afforded us again here in this life to meet with the fewer of the Lord's broken creation in this place again. It seems like that as we age and in the service of the Lord, it seems like that we get slower and slower in making the rounds to the places that we used to go, and we're able to get there quicker. But we desire certainly an interest in your prayers this evening. It's good to be with these preach brethren, and God of all grace would enlighten our minds that we'd be able to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. I've always held that it doesn't really matter. Somebody say, I've heard folks lately relate to me, well, we went to such and such a meeting, and oh, they had such a good meeting. And when they get through, I'll say, well, who preached? And they say, well, I just don't know. I don't remember who it was. But you know, it really doesn't matter the name so much of the messenger as it does the name that we come in, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to read, by God's grace, I usually don't read this much in the outset, but I wanted to read in the third chapter of the Revelation letter. And this is addressed to the church at Philadelphia. A lot of people say that this is the revelation of John, but it's not. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ unto John that he was to take and to show to the churches. And in this third chapter, he began in verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar, not a pillar. You notice that? He didn't say make a place for us to sleep. He says, I'll make a pillar to uphold the truth. Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Isn't it strange that God has penned these scriptures down in such a manner to understand that God has said that he would reward the faithful. There is strength and there is some rewards for God's pilgrims, I'll get it right, God's pilgrims here in this world. He says in the 11th chapter, I believe it is, of the Hebrew letter, when he was talking about the fate of those old saints in the Old Testament, he says, without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, there are a lot of people say, yeah, I believe God, but do we believe that he is? Just exactly like the Bible says that he is. It says that he must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder, you see? There are some rewards that are down here and an inheritance up yonder. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I say to you this evening that God's name has chosen to be, and he said that the name of Jesus Christ that is given in this world, that there's none other name given from of heaven among men whereby that we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. What does that tell you? That in the name of Christ, and I don't want to be ugly as Brother Powell says sometimes, but I say to you that the name of Jesus Christ is not synonymous with the words that you hear cast out today. The name of Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, the anointed of God, the Savior of his people here in this world, is a name that we cherish, and we sing that sometimes out of 218 in this hymn book. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away our fears. 1 John 4 talks about perfect love. It says that perfect love casteth out fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, he talks about the beauty of his church here in the world. Did you notice that in the scriptures that he has written, he talked about the candlesticks that were there and the seven angels that were in amongst those, and in the midst of all of those, in the midst of the seven churches, that he was there, the God of all grace in the personage of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit walking in the midst of those candles. You know, I sometimes look back at how quickly our minds forget things. That's the reason the preach brethren in the scriptures, according to God's word, said that we shall be saved if we hold these things in remembrance. He stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to look back at these scriptures again. He said to the angel in the church. Now, he's not talking about a white-clothed individual with a halo over his head with wings on his back. That's not the type of angel that's under consideration. To the angel or messenger of God that's in the church at Philadelphia, right? And he talks about these things. He says the things that he has said that is holy. We have a holy calling. Apostle Paul talked about that. We are saved with a holy calling and not according to our works. He said, he that is true, and we believe that Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of truth, and if he's full of that, there's not room for anything else. He is the fullness of the God bodily in Christ Jesus. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that hath the key of David. We have recently, in short days, traded cars like a whole lot of other folk have done. And I try not to let down the old adage that keep up with the Joneses. If somebody on the street buys a new one, then I won't try to keep up with them. I don't want to, you know, make them look bad when they go by my house. Well, and if y'all have some other mind, that's all right. But I've got a Ford pickup and I've got a Mercury car, and I thank God for both of them, and I thank God for my wife too. Y'all don't get me wrong. I've got a Ford pickup and a Mercury car, and when I pull my keys out of my pocket sometimes, if I don't look what the emblem is on that key, when I put it in the ignition, it doesn't work. I want you to know that the scripture said here that he hath the key. It didn't say the angel of the church had the key. It said that he hath the key of David. Over in the Old Testament, the Bible says that Christ Jesus in prophecy hath the key to the house. And I'm saying it in my own words. And he said the government is upon his shoulders. Now, I'd have to take one key out, and I'll show you what I mean, you see? Now, there are a lot of people in the world today that say that they have the keys to the kingdom that Christ gave to Peter. Says you can't tell a difference. It don't make no difference what you believe and what I believe. Says let's just walk along together. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The scripture in the Old Testament says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Somebody says, well, we're all going to the same place. It don't make no difference, but it does. When you go back to that scripture that's given in Hebrews, the Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, not a man's own opinion, a man's doctrine, a man's ways, seeking after the Lord. He hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and he shutteth, and no man openeth. Now I want to go back to Genesis just for a little bit. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave him a pattern for an ark. And he built that just exactly like God said, do it. One of the deacon brethren in Walnut Cove Church, and Brother Keith knows who I'm talking about probably, he thought he had found him a bargain in a fishing boat. So he bought that boat, and when he got it out on the water, the first time that he went out on it, it did real well. The next time that he carried the boat out on the water, he passed by a man on the lake that had one just exactly like his. And they slowed up and engaged in conversation about their boats. And Brother Paul, and I'll call him by name, says, I see you've got a boat just like mine. And the other fellow says, well, yeah, you probably do. Does yours leak? You see, there's some things about the way God says to fix something. And I firmly believe that if Noah had not gone by the pattern that God gave, that his boat would have leaked. He had a door in the side and a window on the top, and that window was looking towards heaven, not out on the water, so he could see everything going on out there. It looked to heaven, but that window also was shut when the rain came. God told Noah, said, to take your family and put them in the ark. Now, somebody gets all confused and upset and wondering what in the world Noah's going to feed all them animals and how they're going to all make out. And how in the world is Noah going to round up all of those animals out there and get them in the ark? You see, they leave God short. Had not God caused before, didn't God cause all of those animals to pass by in front of Adam? And Adam, incidentally, wasn't a dumb Neanderthal man carrying a slug on his shoulder. This man was smart. You know how that I know that he is? Because God's Bible says that when he caused all of those animals to pass by, that Adam named them all. You ever took a biology book or any of those books and tried to look at all those names that's written in there that man has given all of those names? They're beyond my ability to pronounce. But God, when Noah had gotten in that ark and had obeyed God in the fullness and all of those had gone in, incidentally, when you go to the doctor's office, you pick up that little Bible that's laying there with the colored pages on it. And that will say that two clean and two unclean went in the ark, but that's not right. It's a half-truth. That wasn't all of it. The clean went in by sevens. And when they were all in there, Noah took that hand crank and he began to wind that wrench and close the door. No, he didn't. The Bible says that God shut him in. Now, when you go back to the scriptures, and a lot of people don't like Matthew 18 because it talks about discipline. You know what? When there's no discipline, I'll talk about our natural house for a little bit first. When there's no discipline in our own homes, there's no order. And when you don't have any order, that's chaos. Now Matthew 18 talks about a principled way according to God's way. You remember now that God gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom, and he said unto him, said, I give you the keys to the kingdom, and he told him to just go home and sit down and go back fishing. No, that's not what he says. He gave them the keys to the kingdom, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is, somewhere in this universe, somewhere on this earth, I believe, that God's church will be when Christ Jesus dismounts the throne. Somewhere there'll be somebody that's keeping the faith. And the Bible says, whatsoever sins, whatsoever things are bound in earth are bound in heaven. And whatsoever things are loosed in the earth are loosed in the heavens. And it goes back to what those keys were for. I believe that when Peter went and preached to Cornelius, I believe he used those keys that the Lord had given.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went up there and he preached to a man that God had said and sent word to Peter. And this man was up there that was a devout man. The scripture says that he was. He was a devout man. A man that gave alms, and his prayers went up before God, and God says, they have come up before me as a memorial. You see, God had not forgotten him.
Yeah.
Now that don't sound much like an alien sinner to me.
No.
When Peter went up there with those keys, it was something, my friends, to loose him from the things of this world, the law of the world, and to set him free from that, and to bind him in Christ Jesus. Wasn't that what he said? Whatsoever things are bound on earth are bound in heaven. When he went up there, he went with the sole purpose that God had a mission. And when he got there, he found out what that mission was. You know, preach, brethren, a lot of time, and I can understand that feeling very well. If we could just know and understand and believe when we got there that the Lord was going to bless us to preach and give us a message to preach, then we wouldn't have so much worry and anxiety and nerves when we come down the road, and we wouldn't... Well, I'm going to say it like this. I don't know about you, brethren, but I thank God that I hadn't engaged in road rage on the way to a meeting somewhere, when on nerves and fearing what life before us. Peter went and preached to this brethren, and as he was preaching, I hope there's nobody here that's offended by this, and they shouldn't be, because the scripture says that the Holy Ghost fell upon those. Now, some folks say that you don't get the Holy Ghost until you're baptized. Well, the Bible says that there was those that went with Peter, and he said to those that were there, says, can any man forbid water that these be not baptized, seeing that they have received already? You see? They didn't wait till they got to the water's edge to get it. Seeing they had already received it, can any man forbid water that these be not baptized? You see, Peter had, he didn't have to look to see if he had the right one. He knew by God's Spirit that he had the right one in usage. I want to skip this, the next verse. Let's go to the next. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, we publish open doors at our meetings. But there comes a time that when problems arise and they're not repented of or not taken care of, that the Lord shuts the door. Well, how do we go about opening it up again? How are we going to do that? I'll tell you how, that he told these brethren over here in Revelation. He said that we are to go and to repent of those things, turn from those things, and look back to our first love. And when we do that, my friends, if God grants us a space of repentance, then the Lord will reopen the door. Let's go a little further. The last verse, at last part of that, it says, and hast not denied my name. I used to work with a man from up in Martinsville, and he was a deacon up at the Four Lane Baptist Church up there. And he was a mechanic, and a good mechanic in that work that he did. But he would tell about what all they had going up there, but before you could turn around, he'd cuss a blue streak. He didn't mind using the name of the Lord in vain. And he didn't care who heard it. We had a safety meeting one morning, and during that safety meeting, he flew into a rage and come as... And I waited until after that meeting, and he came out past my workstation, and I walked over to him. And I called him by name, and I said, "You say you are a deacon up First Baptist." I didn't mean tell which one it was, but that's where it was. He said, "Yeah, I am." And I asked him if he thought that what he did in there in the name of the Lord, taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, did he think that was proper and good usage for a man that claimed to be a deacon in a church anywhere? Do you know that man quit speaking to me for I don't know how many months? He wouldn't even speak to me, not even so much as acknowledge that I was there. Of course, that didn't bother me for the simple reason that I believe that he had imposed on me that flame of fire from using the name of the Lord in vain. He said, "And has kept my word and has not denied my name." Let's go back to the Old Testament again. In the Old Testament, the Bible starts out talking about a man by the name of Abram. When he came out of Ur of Chaldees, he brought some company with him besides his wife. He brought some extra baggage with him by a nephew by the name of Lot. When he come in order to make cut to the chase for Brother Ricky's sake, fox hunter, when he came through Canaan's land and passed through that land down into Egypt, and when he came out of Egypt, he came out with a handmaid named Hagar. In the midst of all of this, God met Abram and changed his name to Abraham, a father of many nations. Changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Following the same pattern, when he come through, and I don't know how Isaac made it through without getting a name changed, but I believe that he did. But when he came to Jacob, "In his seed shall we be called Jacobites." In Jacob, when he came to Jacob, he changed his name there that night when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And Jacob went out there and he lay his head down on a rock as a pillow, P-I-L-L-O-W. And he went to sleep, and I've never figured out yet. I have trouble tossing and turning, brethren, when I lay down on a mattress with box springs and with a downy pillow, I guess that's what it, polyfill, whatever they are. Have trouble sleeping. Jacob lay down and put his head up on a rock, and as he slept, God appeared to him. And in the midst of that, he saw a ladder that was sent down from heaven to earth. And angels ascending and descending that ladder, and God standing at the top. Now, here is where God changed Jacob's name to Israel. I have to say this. I'm not predestinated to say it, Brother Rabin, but I have to say this. Y'all remember back years ago, there was a young son of Ham in this country that didn't want to go to service, didn't want to go to fight for his country, so he changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. There are all kinds of reasons why people change their names. When Sister Betty back there and I were married, she no longer went by her maiden name, but she took my last name. When God said that Jacob's name was no longer Jacob, but he was called Israel. And there's a reason for that, that God gave this. And he talks about the name, "Thou hast not denied my name." Doesn't the scripture say in Philippian letter, talking about the name of Jesus Christ, when he come into this world, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made of himself no reputation." That is, he didn't publish his name out here on the sides of buildings like, what is it they call that man over yonder? I ought to know it as much as I've heard it lately. Bin Laden, I get it. The Lord didn't need to publish his name on a building side so that everybody would know that who that he was. You know what? If he had went out there and wrote his name like graffiti on the side of a building, 99% of the Jews probably wouldn't believe it anymore. He says that he came to his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In whose name? The preacher? No. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to turn over here for just a minute. In Hebrews. In Hebrews' letter, the Lord talks about Christ again. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, I believe the scriptures in 1 John says something along this order, and I may not get the exact quotation. But doesn't the scripture say that he that hath not the Son hath not the Father? I want to say to you, brethren, this evening, that when you hear them on television, when you see them in a public display on the sports field, or going through some other name than Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God does not own them. I'm talking about in a manifest sense. Now, when it comes to that family of God, God has Christ died for, every one of them will be with him in glory. But I'm talking about what's down here and now, the way that we serve the Lord. We as primitive Baptists have been given a lot. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You see? The Lord expects a whole lot of us because he's given us the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding, here's that pillar, AR again, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and being so, here's the verse, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a what? More excellent name. Wouldn't it be something if you could even begin to picture this? Now, Paul talked to the Corinthian brethren about such a thing. He says, I have heard that there is divisions among you. And he went on to name what that problem was. And he talked about Peter. And he talked about Apollos. And he talked about, there was another brother in there. And he talked about, says, well, are you baptized in these folks' names or are you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? He says that one soweth and another watereth, but God giveth the increase. I want you to notice what he said in chapter 2 of the Philippian letter, and I'll close with this. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then he goes with that, but made of himself no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he became obedient unto death. Now we have men that have declared themselves martyrs by their own belief. But I want you to notice that he said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, first of all. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That's why I say it don't make no difference. If you remember when I'm gone, you say good riddance. That's all right. As long as you can understand and believe that I believe that Jesus Christ is Savior. And that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, not waiting to be, but already is. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. that at the name of Mohammed, that at the name of Buddha, none of these, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven. Now notice the three categories. He says of things that are in heaven, of things that are in the earth, and the things that are on the earth, under the earth. We would have to include by these writings, I believe that Elijah had already ascended to glory. I believe that Enoch had already been translated, that he not see death had already gone there. Angels of God that were already there, spirits of just men that had already ascended into glory with the Lord. And he says every that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven should bow, every knee that is on the earth should bow, and every knee of things that are, and I want to get it, things under the earth. I'm going to kind of let that one lay right there and let y'all pick that one out. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus paid a price by his precious blood, as of a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that Christ came, died in our room and in our stead. He went to the grave, lay in Joseph's new tomb, only having to have it for the 3 days and three nights that he says, and that he rose out of that grave. And I believe and I can affirm by the scriptures that when Christ came, everyone that the Father gave him in that covenant of grace, everyone, that when he went to that tree of the cross, every name was in his mind legally and justly. When he went to the grave, my friends, that same list was there. When he came out of the grave and rose again for our justification, the same ones were there. And my friends, when he comes in the clouds of glory again, when he dismounts that throne and comes with the last trump and the shout of the archangels, he's going to call every one of them that are his to him, draw them to him, and carry them up yonder. And you know what he's going to do? A lot of people think that on that great judgment day, that there's all nations is going to stand up there, and one by one they're going to have to confess all their sins that they ever done before God the Father. And I can tell you of a truth that I have committed many. I'm not proud of that. But I want to tell you I'm thankful that we have an advocate with the Father. You know who he is? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you know something else that's good about it? He's the judge's son, and he never lost a case. And when he presents his to the Father, he's going to say, here they are, Father. And he'll present them to the Father, and you know how they're going to be presented? Look back down the line, down through yonder, and all over yonder, see all the spots and blemishes and all the sins of all the ages. Not according to God's word. The Bible says that he'll present them without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle. You know why? Because God is not going to be looking at you and I in the personage of our own. He's going to look at us through the name of Jesus Christ, his son. He'll see us through Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless you. I hear you happy in the Lord. To his name be all honor and power in the church, world without end.
Let's stand together and sing the first and last verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the
Bye.